Ultimately, man should not ask what the meaning of his life is, but rather must recognize that it is he who is asked. In a word, each man is questioned by life, and he can only answer to life by answering for his own life. To life, he can only respond by being responsible. What is to give light must endure burning.
Welcome back to another episode of A Stogie for the Road. I am your host, Stogie, aka Sean. You know, it's the end of the year. We made it through Christmas. It's a lovely Christmas. And I think it's going to be a lovely end to the year. However, it's kind of strange how the end of the year doesn't feel like an ending anymore. You know, I don't really watch the ball drop. I don't think I've watched the ball drop in, God, I don't know how many years now. And it seems kind of anticlimactic to me. So to me, there's no real ceremony, you know, no judge that bangs the good old gavel, or no voices announce whether you, I don't know, pass or fail, I guess. The calendar just simply turns, and you're left alone with the consequences of how you've lived. And that's pretty friggin' unsettling sometimes, especially when you have a shitty year. Most of us spend the year running from silence, from reflection, running from the quiet accusations inside of us that kind of pick us apart and says you could have done better, you know? Kind of kicking your own ass throughout the year. This isn't, I need you to understand, this isn't going to be one of those self-flagellation episodes. This isn't, I guess, beat yourself up for 12 months straight bullshit. This is just kind of a reckoning. And a reckoning, if done properly, is an act of courage. Getting honest with yourself. Did you screw up? Where? How? I don't know. I'm not here to give you a sermon every time I do a podcast. You know, because the alternative is typically worse. The alternative is sleepwalking into another year, dragging the same bullshit habits, the same resentments, the same excuses, and then acting surprised when nothing fucking changes. And believe me, I've tried that strategy a time or two, and it does not work. This thing I call a year that has gone by, took some things from me, just like the year before did. Not gently and not politely. Didn't ask me permission to say, hey, can I borrow this? I may or may not give it back. But it took the illusions that I had. The illusions about people. The big illusions I had about loyalty. And illusions about how much effort you can pour into something before it finally loves you back. This year itself didn't steal things from me. I paid for them. I paid for them with misplaced trust, with delayed boundaries, with optimism that should have been tempered by observation, all things that I struggle with. But that's a beautiful yet brutal realization, because it removes the luxury of victimhood. And if you live in a perpetual state of victimhood, that's a luxury. I know you don't want to admit that, but sack the fuck up. That's a luxury. You don't get to say I was unlucky. You say I misjudged. And misjudgment, while painful, is also information. This year also took versions of me. Put together a list of them. old versions. The man who overexplained. The man who tolerated disrespect because he was afraid of being alone. The man who thought being endlessly available was the same thing as being valuable. Well, it turns out, folks, it isn't. That man had to go. We went ahead and fired his ass. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't let him go willingly. He was dragged out of me, kicking, bargaining, and rationalizing. But he was wrong, and he was tired. Some of you listening right now know exactly which version of yourself needs to die. You haven't had the courage to hold the funeral yet, though. You know, I'm going to inject a little honesty here, I think. If you're telling yourself this year didn't change me at all, that is not strength. That's denial wearing a gym hoodie to a gym you never go to. Growth hurts. If nothing this year hurt, you were probably, I don't know, as my grandfather would say, out to fucking lunch. You weren't paying attention. And I wrote down a quote here. It's from Carl Jung. And no, this isn't philosophical bullshit. This is psychological, I guess, dynamite. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Let's let that sit. How many men walk around saying, this always happens to me. Boo. I just attract bad situation. Life keeps screwing me. Gosh, I just can't catch a break. No. Actually, what's happening is simpler and harsher. You're repeating patterns you refuse to examine. And the unconscious is not kind. It doesn't negotiate with you. It executes. This year forced some things into my awareness that I would have preferred keep buried. Patterns, triggers, blind spots. And here's the part nobody ever likes to hear, including me, for the longest time. If the same problem keeps showing up, the problem isn't the problem. You are. It's that old philosophy. One person tells you you stink, they're probably an asshole. If everybody you meet tells you you stink, you need to get your ass in the shower. Now, let's not confuse that with condemnation. That's just responsibility. And responsibility, properly carried, is pretty empowering. Because if you're the problem, you're also the fucking solution. You know, men, for example. All of us men, and it's common knowledge amongst anybody, 90% of men are drowning quietly. Men are expected to provide without complaint. Just, yah, mule, get out there and work. Protect without recognition. Get out there, take that bullet. But don't you back-sass me, mister. Endure without collapsing. Oh, he's just a weak-ass bitch. I need to find me a real man. And perform competence even when they feel like frauds. And if they admit exhaustion, they're told to man up. But here's the reality. Most men don't need motivation. They need permission. Permission to admit that they're tired. They're lonely. And they're carrying regret they don't know how to metabolize. James Baldwin said it better than I think anyone else has ever said it. I just read this a little bit ago. Not everyone that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it's faced. Think about that. Everybody wants change in their life. Everybody says, why me? God, why me? What the fuck am I going to do? Well, maybe you should think about this, and this, and go back and think about that. And why do you do this? And why do you keep repeating that? Yeah, I don't have time for that. Then they move along and play the Why Me song over and over again. That quote alone is worth an entire year of therapy, and most people don't realize it. Facing something doesn't mean wallowing in it like a little baby. It means naming it accurately, and naming something accurately is the first step towards mastery. Now, this is the part that people typically rush here when you get to this part of the, I guess, internal reflection. What did this year give you? They want platitudes, and people want a gratitude list and Instagram captions. No, no, fucking no. This year gave me clarity. And clarity is often pretty damn lonely. It gave me boundaries. The kind that cost relationships, but preserve sanity. It gave me discipline. Not the sexy kind. The boring, uncelebrated kind that nobody gives a fuck about. The kind that nobody claps and raises all kinds of cane for, but your life starts working again. It gave me peace, not happiness. And peace is very underrated. Happiness is loud, and peace is quiet. Sustainable, it's enjoyable. It's the moments that you exhale in when you just come home to the peace and tranquility of your own thoughts once they settle down. So you gave me something else too. It allowed me to respect the man that I'm becoming, even if he's not finished yet. Everybody thinks they can't respect themselves until they're finished, and that's bullshit. My little list of quotes here that kind of go along with tonight's podcast. One of my favorite authors, I love Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway absolutely nailed this. The world breaks everyone, and afterward, some are strong at the broken places. Everybody wants to complain about, oh, my childhood, and my dad was a dick, and my mom was an asshole, and, you know, my neighbors used to da-da-da-da-da. And everybody wants to complain about that stuff. But they don't want to thank those memories that they have and those people that came into their lives that were horrible to them for the strength that they got that came along with it. We're not bitter. You're not hardened. You're strong. And that's a difference. So here's a question that matters. What dies with this year? Not what you want to improve. Not your I'm going to the gym shit in January and then February 12th you quit. But what ends? Which excuse no longer survives January 1st? Which habit loses its moral justification? Which relationships no longer get access to you? How far are you willing to go to manicure your friends list and the people that have access to you? Because if nothing ends, nothing new begins. You don't need a new year. You need a decision. And decisions are terrifying. They really are. Because they close doors. I closed a lot of fucking doors this year. But I've opened up ones that truly matter to me. Now, this is the part that everybody gets caught up into. It's particularly dangerous lie that shows up right around this time of year. You know the one. Next year will be different. Now, on the surface, that sounds hopeful. But psychologically, it's pretty much a delay tactic. I think everybody knows that has some years under their belt. It's kind of almost cliche at this point. But the next year shit, that requires nothing from you today. It allows you to pussyfoot around and postpone the hard conversations you're supposed to have with yourself that a lot of you fuckers are not having. It's a difficult boundary. It's an uncomfortable, very uncomfortable discipline. And our minds tend to love that postponement word, because postponement feels like being productive without being costly, I guess. But I need you to understand this. Time doesn't fix character. Time reveals it. I'm living proof of that. If you didn't tell the truth this year, you won't just magically become honest on January 1st. Everybody knows that. If you've avoided responsibility this year, a calendar won't suddenly make you courageous. The future doesn't rescue people. Decisions do. And that realization's pretty fucking sobering, if you ask me, but it's also freeing, because it means you're not waiting to be saved. You know, I say this all the time. Nobody's coming to fucking save you. You're waiting to act. Why do men particularly get stuck in this repeating years shit that we do? The good old word repetition. Many men are living different years. They're living the same year on repeat with new packaging. You know, they have the same problems, the same issues, the same interactions. And they get older and they get grouchy and they get nasty and they get angry. And why? Because it's fucking Groundhog Day. They have the same arguments, same financial stress, same regret at night when the house goes quiet, the same, is this all there is? Why? Because growth requires voluntary confrontation that nobody wants to fucking do. And confrontation feels like danger to the nervous system. Your brain does not know nor give a fuck about the difference between social rejection and emotional exposure and physical threat. It just knows, this is unsafe. I don't like this. Let's go. So it does what it's designed to do. It protects you. And unfortunately, protection often gets all wrapped up in avoidance, rationalization, humor used as deflection, overworking to avoid thinking, yada, yada, yada. And listen, folks, I'm not condemning that. I've actually been a lot of that. The coping that once kept you alive, you fall in love with. But what keeps you alive can also keep you stuck. And it can also kill you. At some point, a man has to ask himself, is my survival strategy and the way I do things fucking up my life? So I'm going to ask you again, is my survival strategy fucking up my life? Think about that. Because that is not an easy question. It's one I've toiled with for over 2.5 years now, and I barely got my arms around it. But it's the right one. And look, if you're sitting there thinking, yo, asshole, I didn't tune in tonight to feel like I'm being personally attacked by this podcast, and you're bothered right now, well, congratulations. That means you're listening. I hope you feel that way, because it means it's striking a chord with you. Here's something we don't talk about enough. And we really should as men. And it's the price tag on unlived potential. It doesn't show up as pain immediately. It doesn't show up as, you know, that agony. It shows up as irritation. God, do I know that feeling. Because deep down inside, you know you have that potential. You know you're talented. You know you have the ability to do something. And every day when podcasts go by that I don't record and I don't create and I don't work towards my goal, man, I get irritated. You get annoyed at the small things. You get short with the people you love. You get restless, even when life is quote unquote fine. That's not random. That's your psyche kind of protesting. Well, not kind of, it's actually protesting against what the fuck you're doing. There's something really uniquely corrosive about knowing deep down that you're capable of more and choosing comfort instead. And no one needs to shame you for that. Your own conscience already does a good enough job. Trust me, I kick my own ass daily. This year, and I'll speak personally, forced me to confront that gap. The gap between who I say I am and who I actually am. And bridging that gap is so exhausting. But not bridging it is a slow death sentence. Resentment builds quietly against people you love. And eventually it looks for a direct target. And it's usually the wrong one. So what do? You get responsible. And responsibility gets kind of a bad reputation. People think it means burden and just drudgery. But psychologically, responsibility is structure. And structure is calming. It really, really is. When you voluntarily take responsibility for your life, even imperfectly, chaos loses its leverage over you. And you stop asking, why is this happening to me? And you start asking, what am I willing to do about it? And that shift changes everything. It transforms suffering from punishment to purpose, and purpose, even heavy purpose, is easier to carry than meaningless pain. And what you get in return are the men and the people you leave behind. Growth costs companionship, and I need you to hear me on this. It absolutely does. I've studied this. I'm looking into this endlessly because I am totally cleaning my life out. There's been some stuff that happened, I guess, recently that really, really opened my eyes to that brother bullshit. And I just blessed and released. Off you go. Not everyone can follow you where you're going. Some people only knew you when you were smaller, more agreeable, and less dangerous. And when you change, really change, you disrupt that ecosystem. That's not betrayal. That's consequence. You don't have to hate them. Those people you get rid of, I strongly suggest you don't, because that's a burden in itself. You don't have to vilify them. Just be done. But one thing you don't get to do is you don't get a shrink to keep them comfortable. I used to say all the time, what the fuck is it about me? To where sometimes people talk to me like I'm nothing to worry about because I know what the thoughts are in my head and I know if I unleash them, I'm bringing hell with me. But I just keep moving. Just keep it moving along. It's not worth it. But just please remember, you don't get to shrink to keep other people comfortable. That's not humility. That's self-erasure. That's you self-harming. So, if this year broke you, you have to make sure it also defined you. before we end this year, before the noise and all the bullshit and the hoopla starts again, before everyone pretends, once again, January is this miracle cure. I need you to slow down and slow your mind down and slow your intentions down for a second and take a breath. But not dramatically, not spiritually, but psychologically. Most people rush endings. They're uncomfortable with them. The ending forces a verdict. And verdicts imply responsibility. So instead of rushing towards the motivation, I want you to sit with something heavier. What kind of man, and listen to me really clearly, what kind of man did this year reveal you to be when no one was watching? You're going to hear me talk about that all the time. The way I live now, Kevin Hart said it when all his life went to shit for a little while. He says, I live my life. It's simple right now. I live my life like I've got a documentary crew following me. Cameras everywhere. It's that accountability. But let's talk about the man you are when nobody's watching. What kind of man did this year reveal to you? On what kind of man you were when no one was watching. Not the version you post, not the version you explain, not the version that shows up under pressure. That man is the truth. And the truth, while sometimes brutal, will also orient you. You can build on truth. You can't build on fantasy. There's a dangerous comfort of good enough. Everybody, they want an exceptional life, but do mediocre things. Or they do mediocre things in life and are pissed because they have a mediocre outcome in existence. One of the most dangerous places a man can land is in the world of good enough. Not failing, not thriving, just existing. Bills are paid, pulse is steady, dreams postponed politely. Good enough doesn't scream. It just whispers. It tells you, you've earned your rest. You'll get serious later, and other people have it way worse than you. And all of that might be technically true, because actually it is. But here's the cost nobody ever wants to mention out loud. Good enough slowly murders your self-respect. I did that, and I know what that felt like. It doesn't murder your self-respect in like a dramatic way, in quiet concessions. You just stop asking questions. You stop expecting much from yourself at all. You stop believing your actions even fucking matter. And then one day, years later, you blink your eyes and you're angry as shit. But you can't quite explain why. Why am I so angry? Why am I mad? Why am I talking to myself in the car, having fake arguments with people? That anger is grief, and that grief is for the man you did not become. What is that saying? I'm going to fuck it up, but the guy said, I've led a toothless life. And finally, in my later years, when I decided to sink my teeth into life, I realized my teeth were gone. Don't wait, because you never know. Look, if your internal response once again is, well, damn, I was just trying to enjoy my evening. I don't know why the fuck I'm listening to Stogie preach to me again. Relax. I'm not here to ruin your precious, comfortable night. I'm just here to keep you from ruining your next fucking decade. And again, I speak from personal experience, so just bear with me, please. It's, you know, I'm trying to keep you from feeling that feeling of regret. I hate that feeling of regret. I drag it around all the time. How many days I let shit just slide by because I get wrapped up in other people's bullshit. Let's talk about regret. Not that Hollywood regret version, not the dramatic one mistake ruined everything story. Real regret is subtle. Real regret sounds like I knew better. I felt that coming. I should have handled that differently. That's not shame, that's conscience. And conscience isn't your enemy. It's a compass. And the problem isn't regret. The problem is unexamined regret. A lot of people run around thinking they got the fucking answers, but they've never even asked any questions. Because regret ignored does not disappear. It hardens into cynicism and sarcasm and emotional distance. And that's why so many men become colder with age. Grumpy, the grumpy old man vibe. They're not wiser. They're just armored. But that armor has a cost. And it protects you from pain and protects you from connection. And without connection, life is pretty meaningless. No matter how successful it looks on paper. What does responsibility even mean to some of you guys? Because it's not punishment. Responsibility is agency. It's that moment you stop saying, this happened to me. Life does not happen to you. It happens for you. It starts saying in those moments of responsibility that this is mine to deal with and mine alone. Even if it wasn't fucking fair, even if it wasn't your fucking fault, because here's the absolute psychological truth. Without responsibility, pain is chaos. With responsibility, pain becomes sacrifice. And sacrifice, voluntarily chosen, is what gives life depth. This year taught me so much about that. It taught me so much about avoiding responsibility. Absolutely not reducing pain. It multiplies it. Deferred responsibility is... It accumulates interest. And eventually the bill comes due and your ass better have that money, because usually it's at the worst possible moment. Do me a favor. Pay attention to the men you envy. Not the celebrities, not the loud ones. The quiet ones. The men who speak calmly, move deliberately, don't overexplain, don't chase validation. That's not arrogance. It's integration. These men have aligned their actions with their values, and they don't need to convince you of anything. And envy, properly understood, is instruction. It's your psyche pointing towards like a gold standard. The question isn't why aren't I like them? The question is, what am I avoiding that they confronted? A year doesn't become meaningful because you felt inspired. It becomes meaningful because you decided on something. Decisions narrow the field, and you got to make those fucking decisions. They cost you options all day long. And that's why most men avoid them. But decision is not neutral. Indecision is a decision. And that decision is to let life choose for you. And I've been so sick of that. That is absolute, perfectly a summary of a good bulk of my life. Life has pretty much been chosen for me while I made the decision to let life choose for me. Make sense? Good. Great. Clear as mud. But I'll put it this way. Life is not gentle when it chooses. It's usually pretty harsh. So before this year ends, there's one decision worth making. What will you no longer negotiate with yourself about? Will it be sleep, health, truth, discipline, boundaries? Pick one. Not 10, one and fucking mean it. And no, you don't have to become a monk, jackass. You could still laugh, still screw up, still enjoy your life. This isn't about perfection. It's about alignment and not having to lie to yourself at night, because that eats your guts out. The most exhausting thing in the world is pretending you don't know what you know. Does that make sense? To act like this just all came out of left field when you know damn good and well what happened to you, because it happened to you 5 years ago, six times. You're the X factor. This year broke you, and I mean broke you in places. As my favorite podcaster, Jocko, would say, good. Broken places are the honest ones. And honesty is where rebuilding starts. You don't need to be louder next year. You need to be clearer. Clear about what matters, clear about what ends, and clear about who you're becoming. Because clarity cuts through the chaos every time. And chaos is typically what destroys men. Always. Let this year end without denial. Let it end with the truth. And if you're caring more than you should be caring alone, you already know where the table is. This isn't about hype. It's about backbone. Backbone. What so many men lack. Let's let this year end, guys. Let's let it end with all the lies that we tell ourselves. The good enoughs and I'll do it laters. The conversations you should have been having with yourself a long, long time ago, before you had children, before you had a wife, before you left a trail of destruction behind you. Get curious and start asking the questions. Where the fuck did this come from? Why does this always happen? Why am I always in attendance when it happens? When you do that, you go, oh shit. Is it me? And the answer is probably yes. I had so many moments this year that I look back upon where I felt people absolutely take over the steering wheel of my life and say, I think you should do this and I think you should do that and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Or people with their hands in the pocket of my future thinking that they can just get a little piece of it. So I battened down the hatches, closed the doors and the windows, and got to work on my destiny with zero excuses. And guys, the feeling is liberating. It's glorious. And I want that for you. So with that being said, I hope this podcast finds you well. I hope you listen to it with open ears and an open heart and open arms. I hope it finds you well. Thank you for tuning in once again to another episode of A Stogie for the Road. And I'll be seeing you next time. Yo, get the speaker box loud, hitting that stuff till you hearing that sound.